Welcome to this installment of Above the Clouds. Here in this podcast, we are dealing with the Bhagavatam in such a way that we are trying to extract some lessons that we can apply immediately into our lives. Today we will be reading from the 5th canto, chapter 1, text 35. Here Shukadev Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear king, a devotee who has taken shelter of the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord can transcend the influence of the 6 material waves, namely hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death, and he can conquer the mind and 5 senses. However, this is not very wonderful for a pure devotee of the Lord, because even a person beyond the jurisdiction of the 4 castes, in other words, an untouchable, is immediately relieved of bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. Everyone who comes into this material world will have to face these 6 waves that come in the ocean of material existence. There will be hunger, thirst for the body, lamentation and illusion for the mind, and again, old age and death for his physical existence. It's unavoidable. When you fall into the ocean, you will get wet by the waves of the ocean." So here in this verse it is said that by taking shelter of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, one can transcend the influence of these 6 forces, these powerful forces that move us along. That happens when we can take shelter. The process of taking shelter is culminated when one can give up his false identification with the material body. As long as we do not give up our identification with the body, it will be very, very hard to overcome the influence that comes from the material nature. What happens when we identify with the material body and develop a narrative around our false identification? Well, the moment you identify with the material body, you will undergo birth and decay, and you will be overcome, as Madhvacharya says, by constant drowsiness and unquenchable sexual desires. When you identify with your life force, you will be overcome by hunger and thirst. When you identify with the mind, there will be anxieties. And when you identify with your intelligence, you will hanker for what cannot be obtained. That is perfection in this world. And you will, as a result, develop existential bitterness and frustration. Now, therefore, surrendering to the Lord is so absolutely important. Taking shelter of the Lord is so important, because with it you don't any longer stay in the concept of I and mine, but you say, "I'm yours, my dear Krishna. I belong to you." Still, as long as we are in the material energy, it is good to be in a position where we can be strong. We are reminded of the crisis of the elephant Gajendra. He had gone to a lake where he was attacked by a powerful crocodile. They were fighting for a long, long time, and finally, because the elephant was not in his element, he was diminished in bodily strength. His mind also became weak, and therefore, because he lost his conviction, he lost all of his strength. Prabhupada writes about this. The crocodile, however, being an animal of the water, had no difficulties. He was getting food and was therefore getting mental strength and sensual encouragement. Thus, while the elephant became reduced in strength, the crocodile became more and more powerful. See, the elephant was not in his element, whereas the crocodile was. From this we can draw a conclusion. I'm quoting Prabhupada. Now from this we may take the lesson that in our fight with Maya, we should not be in a position in which our strength, enthusiasm, and senses will be unable to fight vigorously. And then he goes on to say that everyone needs to find what is a normal condition for them, and it is different from person to person. So, the first point I would like to bring to your attention for practical application. In this material world, there will be miseries coming our way. And as long as we are not yet fully free from false ego and false identification, the miseries will influence us. Therefore, let's take up a position in life that is normal for us, an ashram that is normal for us, an environment that is not good for us, activities by which we get strength. We should not be in a position where we lose strength. Now from this position onwards, we can do what is ultimately of greatest benefit. We can chant the holy name. This verse was explaining even someone who is untouchable, that means very low, is immediately relieved of the bondage to material existence if he utters the holy name of the Lord even once. This is really the point of bhakti. You are taking shelter of the Lord by calling out to him. And there is a secret. Anyone who is interested in self-realization should know that that which brings it about is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when someone sincerely cries out for this mercy, then he will be saved from bondage, not by his own strength, but because of the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is given to him due to the mercy of the Lord. Chanting is of course best done when we are situated in our in a life situation from where we can, so to say, be a little in our element. But even if we don't manage to find such a life situation so quickly, if we call out to the Lord and say, "My Lord, on my own, I'm really not capable to take care of this problem," then the Lord comes. I very much like this a purport from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It is coming to the in the 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 51. There it is said, when a devotee understands that the process of bhakti yoga is complete in itself, and he becomes absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the supremely merciful personality of Godhead affectionately lifts such a devotee onto his own lap. He says, "Come on, come on, come to me, I will take care of you." This is the promise of bhakti. Yes, we will do what we can do to situate ourselves properly, but then we will surrender to the Lord by calling out in helplessness his holy name, and he will take care of us. He will guide us also. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting comment on this. He says, those who can see may take the blind on both cool and hot paths, sometimes seeing that the cooler path is full of thorns, they may choose to lead their blind charges on the hotter path. Will the blind cast blame? No, they trust the sighted persons as well-wishers and praise them. They need to have faith that their masters are faultless. We are spiritually blind. Krishna sometimes may take us on a hot path, that is a difficult path, or on a cool path, that is a path where everything goes smoothly. When we call out to Krishna, Krishna feels called and he comes and takes us on our, takes charge of us, and then we need to only trust him. That, okay, wherever you lead me, on what path of life you will bring me, my Lord, I trust in you that you know best and that you take care of me without any possibility of making a mistake. This faith needs to be there. When one chants the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and entrusts one's life to his shelter. How to take shelter? There are six traditional ways of taking shelter that are described very nice in song form by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. As an exercise, I request you to get a copy of his Sharanagati prayers, either in book form or online, and then daily read one of his songs. See, there is a famous verse. It says, anyone who even once sincerely surrenders unto me, declaring, "I'm yours," and prays for fearlessness, "It is my vow," says the Lord, "that I will always grant that to them." So by singing these songs or reading them and then taking shelter, you will definitely become free from all bondage.